podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
You know what a blue moon is?
I know that it's...
Not the term of Greece. Not that like type of blue. Yeah, go on. You've got your pan flute. Okay, if that's all you can do, then that's not the vibe I'm...
Okay, I used to be able to play Toto's Africa, though. It's only been like 6 years, so...
Yeah.
And it's been in my office for like 6 years.
Yeah, are there spiders in there? Like,
probably.
I just...
Like moths come out or something?
Yeah.
Maybe you keep talking and I'll get some proper pants.
Okay, so a blue moon is a term used when there's two full moons within the same calendar month.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, so it's not because it's actually blue or anything like that. So we had a full moon already in May and then the blue moon happened last night, May 31st. So that's two in a calendar month, which is May. And it was the first calendar blue moon since 2023. So you may have seen it and been like, what are you doing here? You're not meant to be here, but it is a little bit special.
Do the articles about it suggest that it is an incredibly rare event that won't happen again until 2028?
Mate.
So in 18 months?
I don't need that. Okay? That negativity, you can take it away right now.
Okay.
So basically, we had the full moon last night, and with it comes a whole bunch of things that we can focus on. What does it all mean, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is supposed to be pan flute music.
I like it.
It's coming.
So it's actually considered a micro moon.
A micro moon?
Which is funny because that's how I describe you to people.
Well, but that's okay. The moon doesn't have to feel bad about that. Because it's not about the size of the moon. It's the size of the full moon.
It's the pull of the ocean.
It's a gravitational field.
So basically the micro moon it's just slightly further away from Earth.
Oh.
It might have appeared a little smaller last night, but still bright, still the energy, intense, transformative. Okay? So what does it mean in astrology? Well, it landed in Sagittarius.
Oh.
And Sagittarius is a zodiac sign associated with truth-seeking and freedom and adventure. And experts say it's a time for endings, revelations, and finally confronting the things you've been avoiding.
Oh, my God.
Right? So this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Because even though the full moon was last night, if you missed it, still powerful either day, either side of the moon, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to let go of old emotional baggage.
Okay.
We're going to reassess our long-term goals.
Right.
We're going to embrace change. That's right. I will embrace change.
No, you won't.
I'm going to say yes.
No, you don't.
To new opportunities.
You will not.
Ones that change at the last minute. And possibly cut off the person that's pissing you off at the moment too.
Yeah, okay.
You know. And your emotions, they might be all over the place. But this is what we're going to do. It's powerful energy and we're going to say... I don't want that in my life anymore. Be gone! I want to bring something good in my life. I want to shift away from that onto something better. We're going to pay attention to what we do want. And if you do feel slightly unhinged at the moment, which I have, there's a reason. It's the moon. I don't know if you're asleep or you're just...
Did I drift off? What?
Leave your crystals out. Create jars of water in the moonlight and absorb that lunar energy and maybe get a little manifesting journal going tonight.
Get out there, grab your ankles, drop trowel.
Well, no, I mean...
Just absorb some of that moonlight.
Whatever it is that you want to do. But I'm looking forward to this, mate, especially the change part.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying yes to new opportunities.
No, you're not. No. Nobody
I'm
believes.
Doing it.
It's not a miracle moon. It's a blue.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Going to Texas for this one.
Yeah.
Galveston, Texas. Yeah. Not San Antonio, Texas. I don't want to talk about the basketball. Let's move on.
Right.
Not happy with the situation yesterday, but that's fine.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
Apart from that.
Seems like it's not okay.
Had a good weekend. So just really try and focus on the positive and not the fact that OKC didn't make the finals.
Oh, you've had enough, I think. Share it around.
Yeah, that is fair.
Yeah.
We're going to Galveston, Texas, where the Iron Shark roller coaster malfunctioned. couple of days ago.
Oh, God. See, this is the thing. You think, oh, I want to be that person that goes on the roller coaster. I want to live.
Mm.
And then you see these stories and you're just like, this is why. Yeah. Why I don't live.
I was talking about this with someone on the weekend because I'm a roller coaster guy. I love roller coasters, love water slides.
Mm.
And there's a new ride that's, or two, one or two new rides coming at Adventure Park actually really soon.
Oh,
that
really?
I would like to have a go on. Mm-hmm. One's a big drop. So we thought we'd get you on that.
Ha!
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, so this one in Texas, the Iron Shark roller coaster, it's like a. It sort of goes up and across. It's like a boxy sort of shape.
You sure it's not the Iron Sheik?
No, we've talked about that, how Goldie thinks I look like the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, that's what I
wrestler.
Thought.
Yeah, with
is
the
it
big
your
mustache.
Roller coaster? Okay, no.
30 meter, it has a 30 meter drop. And
that means nothing to me. How many stories is 30 meters?
I don't know.
That's I'll Google it. Okay, I'll Google it, yeah.
So they just the ride got to just the peak. But it's
10
like
stories.
10 stories
get
high.
Get out of town.
So that's
go
like,
away.
That's like the new bar at the new convention centre.
Yeah.
The Crown Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
The convention centre's not open yet, but the hotel is. And yeah. There's a bar right on the 10th floor up the top. And
there.
It looks out over Corio Bay.
Okay.
From that high, it then drops.
Yeah, have fun, everyone. I'll hold your bags.
But it's a vertical climb. It's not like a, you know, a 90 degree.
Oh, it's not like
a 45 degree. It's a 90. Yeah, goes straight up. And just before it got to the flat bit to then go back down again,
yeah.
It stopped.
No.
So they're like
they're
essentially
sitting
facing
in the
straight
backwards.
Up. Yeah, they're sitting in chairs facing the sky.
Like, yeah, but yeah. Their back
yeah, their
is
back
facing
is to the ground. 30, oh, 30, 10 stories up.
Nah, no.
So that was cool. So the firefighters had to get out and rescue the people.
I've got a question.
Mm.
Do you think the firefighters can slip you some endone or something?
So
because
get
there's
you down.
No way.
Well, sometimes
I couldn't.
They would have to. Sometimes they would have to, or like strap you into something or strap
no,
you to
them.
No,
but it doesn't matter because I won't physically be able to move.
Mm.
I'd be like I wouldn't be able to move. So they would have to like tranquilize me from the ground. Foom.
Yeah.
Like, and then.
Blow dart.
Yeah, right? From their cherry picker. And then I'd be like, once I'm relaxed, I'm like, yeah, I can get down here.
Yeah, all right.
Fly.
I'll fly.
Yeah.
See, that's too far the other direction.
You'd have to, right?
Yeah. The theme park that it's in is on a jetty as well. It's one of those ones, like Coney Island sort of thing in America.
Oh, my God.
Right, so there's like ocean all around.
Great.
Them. And do you know what it's called?
Mm.
It's called the Pleasure Pier.
So we've come here.
Pleasure Pier.
Yeah, for a rocket ride at the Pleasure Pier, and yeah. It's not what I expected
yeah,
at all.
Things got hard.
Absolutely terrifying.
It's the Tom and Loggie podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
All right, so on the weekend, it was my dad's 70th birthday party.
Happy birthday, Con.
Oh, happy birthday, Daddy-O. What a time was had. All of us together in the one house, which was beautiful as well. And we had Friday night, Saturday night in Queenscliff. All
yep.
The fam came down.
Lovely.
And on Friday night, Mum and Kim got there earlier than everyone else and set up platters. And then the boys brought down drinks. And then it was like a full, you know, everyone just relax. There's food everywhere. You know, there's music, there's drinks. Like, just settle in for a good time.
And
right?
So was that Friday or Saturday?
Friday night. Friday. Then Saturday. There was a surprise lunch for him.
Yeah.
Just with his siblings and mum's siblings and us. And yeah, it was really, really good, right?
And then Saturday night there was trivia.
Saturday night I did trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what yesterday was
and then we all, well, me, Jimmy and Dad all passed out at 7 PM.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that was it.
Okay.
And then yesterday, you know, breakfast, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it was a full weekend of family
fun. Awesome.
But, you know, the platter, as soon as I walked in, everyone was laughing because they're like, oh, she's eyed it off, right? Because it was like all my favourite things.
Oh.
Like the little red things with the cheese in them, and there were olives and, you know, they're little capsicum
like little
things.
Capsicum, yeah. Stuffed capsicums.
Yes.
I think that's what they're called,
love
capsicum.
That stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Two dips, three cheeses.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Just great, right?
Whew, all
number
out for the 70th, yeah.
Crackers. And
yeah, cool.
Anyway. So after a while, you know, I was there, but I didn't want to tee in too much because, you know, the birthday boy hadn't arrived yet. And so I was just taking it easy, pour myself champagne. Yeah, we're having a good time.
That is a funny space to be operating in, isn't it? Because, you know, when you get to the charcuterie before everybody else.
Yes.
You try and pick things off it without disturbing the aesthetic.
The aesthetic of it. Yeah. Exactly, Tom. Well done. You are Macedonian. And then so I was doing that or whatever, and then it got to the time where it's like, all right, we're all ready to go.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on the table and I'm with Kim, my younger sister, and mum, and I'm like, oh, there's do we have any knives for the cheese? Because they had chopped up all the rest of the cheese, but there was a wheel of like brie there.
Yeah.
It hadn't been chopped up. It only been chopped in half.
Okay.
So it hadn't been chopped up. And then Kim's like, yeah, no, we bought knives or whatever. And I was like, oh yeah. And the mum's like, yeah, they're in the kitchen. And Kim goes, yeah, go on. And I went, oh, all right then. And Kim got up from the table, but I just, you know, got the cheese and just teared a bit off because okay. I thought that's what she meant when she said, yeah, go on. I was just like, oh, I'll just tear it. Don't worry about the knife. And then she comes back with the knife and she's like, you animal, what have you done? And I'm like, oh, I thought you said, yeah, go on. And she's like, no, I meant, yeah, I'll go on. I'll get you the knife. I'll come back. And so I've just peeled off a bit of cheese, a bit of whipped brie.
How do you even do that with brie without it just going smoosh in your hands?
Mate, I am very good at what I do. I've been doing this a long time.
You're an animal.
I've been doing this a long time. Yeah, and then everyone came over to see the wheel of cheese that I had ruined and whatever. But we're amongst family.
Do you have photographic evidence of what it looked like post-tear? Because I don't believe that you didn't squish the whole half of thing of brie.
No, of course I didn't. You just kind of pull away. You pull away gently, mate. Pull away gently.
How? It's got the skin. How do you pierce the skin?
No, you just, it happens.
I don't understand how you've done this.
It happens. It's fine.
You have broken a piece of brie off. Half.
Everyone was shocked. Oh. I'm amongst family. I'll do what I like. And they have to love me. They have to. They've got no choice.
Mm.
Anyway, what I would suggest is if you're going to do a platter, have the appropriate cutlery ready to go.
Yeah, it's Kim's
it's
fault.
My fault.
Yeah, she's the idiot.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
It's been a big year of birthdays. My dad's 70th was on the weekend. There's been 60th, 50th, 40th, and they normally come with an expensive cake, you know, because why not?
Yeah.
Go and treat yourself. Now, the problem is when you pick these cakes up, they come in a box, and then the task is on you to make sure they get to the venue and get sat upon their little post or wherever it might be for everyone to enjoy to look at before it gets cut up. And that is scary. I hate being in charge of tasks like that that have so much pressure on them. My friend, it was her 40th recently, she organised her own cake and they were driving to the venue and her hubby was like, yeah, I've got the cake. She's like, cool, they parked. He took the cake out of the car and behind him sat their daughter and apparently she opened the passenger door too quickly and he got discombobulated and the cake dropped. Right on the floor.
Yeah.
Right on the floor. And it's like, yeah. Oh, man, that can happen.
Yeah.
It's my worst nightmare, but it can happen. Has it happened to you? 52232955.
Azza, what happened with the cake?
Not so much the cake. The cake actually survived. But many years ago, my 21st, my mum got a cake made. Now, I'm a Carlton supporter, so... Mm. The icing was dark blue. So by the time the cake had come out, everyone had had a few and whatever, and, oh, yeah, let's do the cake and whatever, and that was all right. So for the rest of the night, everyone's walking around, they've got stained dark blue lips, tongue, everything was just blue.
Oh, their mouth and everything.
So at the end of the night, we're all walking out of this pub, and everyone's just staring at us, like, what the hell is going on here? And, yeah, it was funny.
Just a bunch of blue-tongued lizards walking
exactly.
around.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, look, you know, not exactly what we're after, Azza, but still fun. So I appreciate your call, as always.
Something happened with a cake, that's for sure. Karen's in Clifton Springs. Morning, Karen.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, we're good, mate. What happened with the cake?
It was my daughter's 21st, and my girlfriend decided to make her a cake in the shape of a beer stein.
Oh, nice.
With all the froth and a handle and all that sort of stuff.
Tricky.
And it turned out really, really good until my darling girlfriend, Donna, decided to sit her fat ass on it.
Oh, what? Was the cake on a seat under a table by any chance?
No. she just, I don't know what she was thinking, but she just decided that she would go and sit on the cake.
She did it on purpose.
Well, she was pretty drunk.
Yeah.
We were all pretty drunk.
I love that you've named her and you've also described her ass.
You don't know her surname, though.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Leave that off air, Karen. You can tell us off air. Donna's tuning in and just, yeah, just like, oh, yeah.
I think she's talking about me. Sharon in Buckley, what happened with your cake, mate?
It was my husband's 30th, and the cake arrived. It's on the stand, and we're lighting the candles. And my husband at the time was a shearer. And so there was, instead of pigs flying, there was sheep flying. That was the cake design.
Yeah, cute.
And so they're up in the air.
Yeah.
And the candles were lit. And the sheep, they too were made of polystyrene and have just gone up.
And, oh my God.
And dripped all over the cake and, you know, inedible.
Yeah.
No!
Traumatic. And what about the sheep? Think of the sheep.
Well, they're gone. They're just black.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
K-Rock 955, it's Tom and Loggy. We do it for Mimosa Homes. Very exciting moment for you and I. Log, joining us on the show is a man who's bringing his whole band to Australia in September with Shinedown. Talking, of course, about Gavin Rostow from Bush. Welcome to the show, Gavin.
Thanks for having me.
Mate, you're going to come off the back of a US tour, I believe. Are you on tour at the moment around the States? Is that right?
We just finished. Finished like this weekend, like 2 days ago.
You had the family, that your son's on tour with you. What's that like to be able to bring the family along with you?
Oh, I love it. My little 12-year-old, he came with me to Bottle Rock. And we did loads of shows this weekend. Like, we played the big main stage show. We played in a stripped down sort of, not acoustic, but stripped down set at 7. And the next night we did they have an After Dark series where you play some club, and it's a very sort of exclusive 650 people, really sweaty club. I couldn't believe anyone would want an hour and a half, hour 45, at the end of a 3-day festival. I was like, are you sure people? But they did. And he was so sweet. He just, you know, when he tells me he's proud of me, it just means more than anyone.
Yeah. Stop it.
He's so into it. And so it was great to have him. And I love them coming with me. When I first had kids, people said to me, have you written any songs about your kids? And I'd be like, no, I don't think I'm ever going to do that. The trick is, or the challenge is, I just said, I just don't want to suck when I make any songs. I don't want their friends to be at school like, cool, remember when your dad was good? You
know, Gavin, thank you so much for being such an animal lover and, you know, very vocal about animals and how much you love them. Your dog, is it Kaya or Kaya?
Kaya.
Is it she or he?
He's
on tour with you as well. Yes. I'm guessing he's not tuning guitars and stuff, but how's it traveling with the dog in tow as well?
Oh, that was incredible, because I did like a month just him on my bus. And normally I go around and I play a bit of tennis in the mornings. I do some exercise. My whole life was, where do we go for walks? My whole thing. Yes.
Well, I'm not sure if you're going to bring him to Australia. The last time some celebrities did that, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, it was a big scandal.
Yeah, they were trying to smuggle them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would never. I'm just not. That takes too much guts. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like one thing to sort of like jeopardize yourself or something, but like jeopardizing whether your animals are taken for you. I would not. I'm too soft.
Yeah.
Because if they take it, I'd be screwed. I'd be like, no. What was I thinking? So. Yeah. That was bad, wasn't it? Two little poodles.
Yeah.
They're easy going. Gavin. Did they get one each after they broke up?
I don't know. Like, we stopped listening to their story, honestly. It was just too much.
It went on for a long time. Yeah. It really did. Hey, Gavin, we obviously know you're an amazing frontman for an amazing band, but people may not know you're also quite the chef as well, or quite the cook anyway. Has that been a passion for you always, or is it something you've sort of fallen into?
It's something that I've gotten more and more involved in, I suppose. You know what I mean? As like every kid, I just grew up not eating, you know, not really caring about food, and food was a bit of fuel and whatever. But then I did do a trip to Spain in my sort of early teens, and just the birth of flavor for me, and the kind of the, I suddenly was like, cool, that does taste really good. And then I began cooking, and I don't know, I just get more and more into it. Plus, I've got so many kids that no one else is going to cook for them. So there's no one else to cook. One thing, I'm super relaxed. I can't bear that bourgeois concept of like, get out of the kitchen. I can't think. Yeah. I can't create. Like, just get over yourself. It's a bit of food. You know, temperature and time.
That's me.
So I'm super, don't be that. Don't be that. There's no point. It's like, there's no point. It's like useless stress, because it's like, you have a choice to be stressed or not be stressed. Mm. Like, what's the worst thing that happens? You order in. That's like simply the worst thing that happens.
Yeah.
It's so bad you have to order in. So I never get it.
It happens. Mate, let's quickly talk about, kitchens are small spaces. Let's talk about Tiny Desk performance for NPR. What's that like, being in that space? Loggie, I know I'm jumping over a question of hers. She wanted to know how small that space really is.
It's really funny
because it's actually a really large office, but just there's one section that is the tiny desk. And it's funny because you're like, you know, you could expand this if you wanted to. But what such an honor. I mean, that show is the litmus test. It feels like for if you're happening, you're on that show here in America. It really is like a lot of great people doing it.
It's going to go off when you come back down to Australia, though. We're so looking forward to having you. What are you most excited about getting back to Australia and getting on stage?
It's just so perverse how good this band has gotten. It's wild. I'm in it.
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky. And I don't know why. I can't work it out. Well, I can work it out because it's just literally applying ourselves and doing it. But the band has never been better. It's not sort of a trip down memory lane and I'll be on, you know, be on three bikes and a set of drums. It's like really powerful, and you know, there's a very mixed age audience. There's a lot of people we've played to who come up through the new material. So I hope you guys have been playing the new material as well.
Yeah.
So it's just wild. I'm just like, normally you'd see, like, over the years, of course I would notice sometimes that, you know, the audience, okay, they were all getting older, and you see pockets of kids, you know, like teenagers, when I first did the band, you know, early 20s, it'd be so exciting, oh my god, see, but now it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a head scratcher. I'm not complaining and I love it, but I think it's to do with the kind of veracity, the kind of the thrust of all the new material. Because I made this decision to keep it all detuned and get heavier. It's so funny. Because of course I should get softer and like easier going and bring out the old acoustic.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to investigate. I'm just aging heavier. Just want to get so heavy that I like being so heavy that it's just funny. It's so heavy. And I try and put a melody on it.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, obviously working on new material. It's so heavy, but then I do like melody, so I'm always going to try and be myself on it. But I just think it's so much more fun and much more interesting. And it's the proof is in the audience that's showing up, you know. Whereas if I'd stayed, you know, doing standard tuning, regular stuff, I think I maybe would have just sort of made songs that people like, nice, don't play those, for God's sake, when we come to see you. Whereas now it's like, it just makes me laugh when I think of it, that it's just so heavy at times. And of course, we don't alienate people. It's not like you go off on too long a tangent, but we're satisfying all these different records and all these different periods of time. And no one period ever lasts too long in the set. So it's not, I don't play like four from Razorblade, and then I pepper them, and I do it off of tempos, you know. I just think about what tempo do I want the crowd to be at.
Yeah,
that's
cool. What
I
think about.
Oh, it's very exciting, and we're really excited that you're coming down with Shinedown as well, who are iconic in a similar but different way, and you guys know each other pretty well, is that right?
Oh, very well, yeah, we're good friends with them, so it's fun for us. We've toured with them a lot here, and I think that I spoke to Brent about this. Is, you know, they're so hands-on, he's hilarious. He would know the trucking company that bring in Shinedown's gear. I mean, honestly, he's nuts.
Wow.
So we spoke about joining forces to come to Australia, because why not give people something incredible, you know, and at the same time play in a bigger space. And together it's a beautiful kind of co-headline idea where we just literally pool resources. I think we're pooling some techs, we're making it work, you know. And it's better, you know, because it's bigger. Not that bigger is always better, but in this case, bigger is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are super excited. You are coming to Australia for the big Shinedown and Bush tour. You're hitting John Cain Arena here in Melbourne, 25th of September. So just before the sort of grand final weekend. It's going to be absolutely massive. Tickets are on sale now. Gavin Rossdale from Bush, thank you so much for your time this morning, and really keen to see you when you get here.
Thank you.
Can't wait. Go enjoy the surf. Yeah. I wish I was a surfer. I wish I lived there with you guys. Why are we not doing this interview in person? I don't like this.
Next time.
Zoom.
Hey, idea. Mate. We've got heaps of churches. We've got heaps of churches
make it
down
happen.
Here. Let's get Bush in a church and then in the surf. We can do it. We can make it happen.
Tom and Loggie. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.